So I'm just going to step in and read to us this morning. And it comes from Revelation chapter 8 and verses 1 to 6, and then a couple of verses in chapter 9. Actually, has someone got the news? Should I could just have, because the translation is the New Living Translation. That's fine. Right. Thank you very much. That helps. I've got a different version. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. I saw seven angels who stood before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar. Just giving a bit of feedback, isn't it? Let me just change to go to this. We'll turn it off, Rich. Just a little bit of feedback down here, I think. Great. So I'll read that. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal and scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. And another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar, where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth. And thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blasts. And then into chapter 9. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their witchcraft, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Da, da, da. That's quite heavy going, that last few verses. But this is the word of the Lord. Didn't get there. This is the word of the Lord.
Welcome.
Good. So we are doing a series, as you know, on the book of Revelation. And so from the beginning of January, we've gone through a number of themes. About scripture, about Jesus Christ, about the church, and about worship. And then we had a little bit of a break, and then last week we had a great talk there, Martin giving a sermon about good and evil in Revelation. And then today I'm going to share a few words about prayer, and then we'll go on to different themes in the next few weeks, God willing. So this theme of prayer is a fascinating one, because as a minister, sometimes I hear people say, we don't pray enough as a church. And I think, well, does any church pray enough? How much prayer is enough prayer? How do you measure that? And so we can feel quite guilty about prayer, actually. And we can think, well, how do I do it and what ways do I do it? And today I want to share a little bit about prayer and the way in which Revelation understands it in this passage. I don't know, this is not about your prayer life, really. It's about what Revelation considers prayer to be in this passage. And I did a little bit of reflection. I've been here as minister for 7 years. And this week did an overview in my own sort of, you know, spare time, of those 7 years of prayer in our church. What has prayer meant for those 7 years? So I thought I'd share that briefly with you this morning. In 2013, the church had a thing called Going Deeper, and it was whereby they had the Sunday morning services, but then in the evening, in the cafe or the meeting room, had the thing called Going Deeper, which was a Bible study, to go a bit deeper into God's Word. And there's this new minister, I thought, right, let's scrap that. Let's have a going deeper in prayer. So let's center ourselves on God. So we met and we didn't focus much on Bible study, but we focused on prayer. So that began in 2013. And like all good things, they don't necessarily last. It happened for about a year or so. But that's what happened in that first year within the church in my time. And then after that, there were a number of sermons on the 9th of November 2014. Why prayer is central to the church. A pretty good place to start, I think. Then we had a prayer week where we graffitied the meeting room. Some of you will remember that. We just basically wrote on the walls. It was a really rebellious act in Rome Eve and got into a lot of trouble because we couldn't get the prayers on when we were trying to pay over it. It was hilarious. Bad minister. But the thing is, we did this, and then it was a graffiti of prayer. And the amazing prayers that were written, and still are there, actually, if you look. Then we had a talk about the Lord's Prayer and living thankfully, and then praying in the power of the Spirit in 2016, and then 24 hours of prayer, then storage for 24 hours of prayer, and then a series, Naturally Supernatural, all about prayer in the middle of 2016. And then we had a prayer week in 2017, and the focus of that prayer week was healing. And with a healing service here, we turned the church around in a different way. So actually, people faced that way, and the stage was over underneath the clock, and then this part of the church was sort of left for people to be prayed for and healing. Prayer was offered at the end of that week. We had a whole week of thinking about prayer and fasting and healing. That was in 2017. And then in 2018, we had a whole sermon series based upon prayer, passion for prayer. Prayer is a primary act of prayer, inward and outward, and the practice of daily prayer, and praying thy kingdom come, and looking at the prayer life of Jesus, and then the community of prayers. We invested a lot in 2018 about prayer as well. And all those sermons, by the way, are still on the church website. So if you are in isolation, you're thinking, well, how do I help my spirit, my soul, how am I nourished? Go on the church website, download a sermon on prayer from 2018. The study notes are there as well. And then this year, in 2020, we had a prayer week as well. And over all this time, there has been many other themes that the church has got to deal with. But prayer over those 7 years has been a consistent thing within the life of the church. But now, what goes on in our church? What happens? What do people take part in terms of prayer? Some pray at 7 a.m. on a Friday morning in this building. Some pray on a Wednesday at 1 p.m. It doesn't matter if it's 7 a.m. or 1 p.m. Both are spiritual, you know. They're both right. And some others pray on a Sunday morning in the cafe. That's happening right now. Some pray in our homes or on their own or in life groups. Some pray before Alpha, before our church service. Some pray in a hospital by the bedside of someone who's sick. Some pray at weddings and at dedications. And some pray as people exit the waters of baptism. We are a praying community. There is a lot of prayer that goes on that has gone on through the years. It's a good thing to reflect. It's a good thing to know and to experience different avenues and aspects and experiences of prayer that happens in this place. You cannot be at every one of those. You cannot be at every one of those. But to be present at some or one or you know, whatever, then that's good. It builds up a community of prayer. But in this session, as prayer is really all around us, happening all the time, there is one aspect of prayer that I want to draw your attention to through this passage. One aspect that is absolutely crucial to prayer. This isn't another sermon about prayer. This is about revelation teaching us something. It's that God listens. That's the only point I want to make to you this morning about prayer. God listens. There was silence in heaven for about half an hour. it says in Revelation 8, verse 1. And there's a sermon about heaven in relation to Revelation a little bit later on. But right now, in heaven, half an hour, hush, silent. I actually was tempted, you were thinking, I wish you'd done it. So we're not going to serve, we're just going to have half an hour of silence. I rushed through those 7 years of the investment of prayer in this church purposefully to get to the point of silence. Okay, with a few shouts out there. God is in the business of listening. Those 7 years, or that Friday morning, or that Wednesday midday, whenever we pray, God listens. God shows dignity and respect. God is not in the business, and I don't know whether you've got people you know who come into your mind when I say this. There are people out there that finish your sentences. Anyone know those kind of people? So you're talking, and before you've actually made your point, the other person's cut in and assumed the end of your sentence. Well, that's not God. God is patient in listening. Takes time for you to finish. You know, not your, but perhaps my babbling sentences in prayer. My, you know, there are other people that pray eloquent prayers. Mine are a bit scruffy and a bit broken. They're not really, they're kind of the crumbs of the bread that fall on the floor kind of prayers. They're not a major big loaf. They're a bit pathetic, my prayers, but God still has patience in listening. He never finishes my sentences. He allows me to finish. In a world that we live today where there are so many voices and so many loud noises about this, that, and the other, and of course, social media is awash with coronavirus. I mean, this is a great quote from Eugene Peterson. The world is a mob in which everyone is talking at once and no one is willing or able to listen. So many voices about how you should behave, what you should think, what you should do. And it's just a confused and chaotic picture. And prayer can sometimes be like that as well. But here, for half an hour, everything stops. Prayer pauses for God to actively listen. The greatest gift in ministry is when people are listened to. And God shows us the way. Prayer is not just us speaking, but us actually being heard. And as I said, there are so many things about the coronavirus. As Sam said some funny ones, and there are, for me, the voices and the mob of the world is the creation of huge anxiety and stress. And maybe there's a right corrective here, but there's also a sense to help us to calm and to be at peace in learning and listening to what God is doing around us. The voice of the world crowding, but God is wanting to listen to each of us. Hush, hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Robin is saying his prayers. What does it mean for God to listen to you right now? For half an hour, heaven was quiet. The distinctive feature of early Christian prayer, and that's what John on the Isle of Patmos was doing, is that assertive being heard. It's distinctive within Christianity and every other religion and those who have no faith, in the distinctive nature of Christianity is that we are heard. No greater gift. So, to clasp the hands, and we're thinking a lot about hands right now. Are they clean, and have we washed them for 20 seconds, and are we saying the Lord's Prayer or Happy Birthday? What's that about? But to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising into the disorder of the world. We've got a lot to pray about. God's got a lot of listening to do, and He will do it, and we will do it. It's important. Well, what about this? I have no doubt that the world stands because of the prayer of Christians. Doug said it, you know, in that sense of nothing to be fearful about. As we sang, as we pray, we can trust God for a fragile situation. And then for this, for me, this is it. Dear Jesus, help me to spread thy fragrance everywhere I go. We know that the coronavirus is spreading quickly and in ways unknown and unimaginable. But we are called in prayer to do what Mother Teresa was quoted as saying, to be the fragrance of Jesus everywhere I go, which is actually to be a person of prayer, not just going to a prayer meeting, but prayer is an orientation. It's about where I'm orientated in life, where I'm going in life. My whole posture is pointed in the direction of God. So therefore, when I breathe, I pray. The fragrance of Jesus, that's what we're called to be in this world today. So, I'm going to invite you to stand. And then after, I'm going to invite Doug to come up and lead us in the prayer meeting session. Because we're going to do what I have been talking about and pray. And God will listen to us. But we invite you to stand, and I'm going to say the words in black, and then you respond together the words in red. And afterwards, God is going to lead us as we pray together. So here we go. Are you ready? This is all centered on what we're going through right now. In terms of the coronavirus, Lord, may you listen. May we who are merely inconvenienced, may we who have no risk factors, may we who have the luxury of working from home, may we who have the flexibility to care for our children if the school closes, may we who have to cancel our trips, may we who are losing stocks and shares or savings, may we who settle in for a quarantine at home, as fear grips our country, during this time when we cannot physically wrap our arms around each other, amen. God is listening.